Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
I have the pleasure of introducing our guest speaker this morning. Reverend Julie Schmidt is a ordained CSL minister, currently a minister at large, serving the greater community as well as the Napa Valley Center for Spiritual Living. From a young age, she has explored and practiced many faith and spiritual traditions, finding inspiration and wisdom in their essential essences, and like Ernest Holmes, integrating them together. Her dedication is to the fullest expression of the marriage between our humanity and divinity. Her background includes Hinduism, Christianity, Tibetan Buddhism, earth-based spirituality, Sufism, and of course, New Thought. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Julie.
Thanks, Dale. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here today. It's been a while since I've been in Santa Rosa. I did my ministerial training here. And so as I was driving here, I'm going, oh, this feels familiar. Different scenario, though, this morning. So today, we're going to explore the gifts of the holy days. You know, a lot is converging on this particular day. So last night at 8:19 p.m., the winter solstice reached its apex. Tonight, Hanukkah starts. And Wednesday, it's Christmas. So I would like to explore these gifts of these holidays. And I know that we tend to talk about light a lot around this time. Hanukkah, we have the Festival of Lights. For the solstice, it's the returning of the sun, light, for longer days. And of course, for Christmas, it's the light of Bethlehem. But I'd like to explore a little bit different qualities, gifts of these holy days. And I'd like to do this. We're going to first start looking at Hanukkah. And we're going to look at that gift of trust through the power of the mind. Then we're going to turn to Christmas and the gift of love into the heart and the openness of the heart. And then we're going to look at the solstice as we move fully more into the body, into the belly, into the seat of the soul. We're going to look at the quality of wholeness as our humanity. Okay, let's begin. So Hanukkah, I want to just do a brief history and story of Hanukkah. So about two centuries before the birth of Christ, Jerusalem was under the Greek Hellenistic rule. They were not allowed to practice their faith tradition. As a matter of fact, their temple was overrun and Zeus, God, was erected there. When the Jews reclaimed their land and found their freedom, they wanted to re-sanctify their temple. So they took the statue of Zeus down and they wanted to purify it by burning lights. Now, to burn these lights required purified, unadulterated oil. And from what they could see, there was only enough oil for one day. And it takes about 8 days to make kosher oil. So, but with trust, they went forward to sanctify, to purify, to honor their temple, to give thanks for their freedom. And as it turns out, the oil lasted 8 days. And so here is a lesson of trust, and it's a lesson to look beyond our outer senses. Those are what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we taste, and what we smell. You know, Jesus, when he gave his messages, he always ended them with those for ears to hear. So he wasn't talking about our physical ears. He was talking about that ability to look beyond the words and the minutia of them and to go where they were pointing to. Again, an invitation to turn within, to those inner senses, that inner vision, that inner hearing, that inner sensation, that inner sensing, the power of that inner voice. About 2 weeks ago, I was on a phone support call. It was an issue that I had needed to fix on my computer, and I had been procrastinating making this call because I just don't like those type of calls. But anyway, so I was making my call, and it was kind of the last thing of my day, and I said, I can do this. I can do this today. So I'm on the call. The minute I got the person, my inner voice said, no, not now, not this person. Now, but I wanted to really knock this out. I really wanted to get this done. And, you know, here was the time, here was the place. I maybe my no isn't really a true no. And so I didn't trust it. So I carried on with the conversation. And what I thought was going to be a 10 or 15 minute fix, I was told, no, we couldn't do it this way. It had to do this way. And before I knew it, I was in this long scenario of how this was going to be resolved. So finally, about 45 minutes into this, I finally said, no. That no came up so loud from within, I finally just said no. And so we undid it, and I was just going to be very thankful just to stay with it the way it was. Well, 2 or 3 days later, I made a call back to this company for a different reason and a different question. And after that question got answered, the inner voice said, this person now. So I asked the question. We got it resolved in 10 minutes, exactly like how I thought it was going to go. Much easier. So how important it is to listen to that inner yes and that inner no. And no doesn't necessarily mean negative or that we're judging something. Sometimes we have to say no so that we can say yes over here. So it's listening to that powerful message from within. You know, Martin Luther King said, faith is taking that first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. I love this quote. And I think probably most of you have probably already heard it. But it's so powerful because this is trust. We don't always know our outcome. We don't always have all our ducks in a row. And we still have to take that step. When we get an inner calling, it isn't about, oh, well, I'll get back to you on that one once I've got this all figured out and all I've done 1, 2, 3 steps. Then I'll take my step. No, the invitation when you hear that call is now. And it's the trust and the faith to step into that. You know, many of us live from the head up in our world. So focused on thoughts and mind and controlling situations and controlling conditions. Maybe there's a wavering back and forth between some sort of righteousness, coming to conclusions and needing to be right. Or being a victim and blaming the world for their problems, for our problems. And I think we all have this going on. I know I do in my being to some degree or another. And so this is what we would call an undisciplined mind. And so the invitation when we come here in spiritual practice is to learn how to discipline that mind. It can be our ally or it can be our foe. So we don't have to believe everything we think just because we think it. Right? So I have a friend whose mother used to say, put down that thought. You don't know where it's been. Isn't it true? Right? We don't know where a lot of our thoughts have been. We were brought up with them. We gain them from our parents, from our peers, from our education, from our ancestral background. Oh, boy. But when we learn to discipline the mind, and as we grow in that power of our mind and the clarity that comes from a disciplined mind, the mind can't do this alone. It needs an alliance. It needs a collaboration. And that starts by dropping into the heart. So we meet Christmas. Now, Christmas is that celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's message was all about love. So Ernest Holmes said this about Jesus. He said, he was humble in his humanity, compassionate in his tenderness. Understanding the frailties of the human mind, he let the great spirit speak through him in words of love and sympathy. He proclaimed his divinity through his humanity. Ernest loved Jesus. You know, if you think of that big book, The Science of Mind, there's such a huge portion in there that he devoted to the mysticism of the Bible, to the metaphysical understanding of Jesus' words. You know, this year I reread the canonical Gospels from the New Testament, that of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I also took a new voyage this year. I read 4 Gnostic Gospels. I had read Thomas before, but I reread it. I read Philip, the Gospel also according to Mary Magdalene, and the Gospel according to Judas. And what I read it from one particular author. He's a French author. And so not only did it have the translation of the Gospel, but it also had his commentary. And it was so powerful to read a deeper understanding of what Christ really came here for, what Christ it really is. And it really affirmed and confirmed and refreshed an experience I had when I was 16 years old. When I was 16, or right before my 16th birthday, I was living in Connecticut. And my parents that summer, we were going to move to California. And right before we moved, my mom took me to see a Broadway show. And first Broadway show I ever saw, and so far right now it's the only Broadway show I've ever seen, but it was Jesus Christ Superstar. And, oh, I was so freaking floored. It was so artistic, majestic, powerful. The music was amazing. And, of course, the story. And all of that was this beautiful catalyst that just really brought that story into me. And I bought the album. And when we moved to California, I listened to it every day. I didn't have anything else to do, right? So I would just listen. And I would be filled with this amazing sense of love. It was my first spiritual awakening. And it was a heart awakening. And I would sit just in bliss. And I would sob. It was just so powerful just to feel the magnitude of purity of love. And I would experience Jesus. And we would talk with each other. Not that he was physically there or we were having a verbal conversation, but I felt his presence, and I felt a conversation and a knowing about him that was beyond what I had experienced when I went to Sunday school, beyond what I had experienced from whatever I had seen on TV about in movies about Jesus. It was a whole other deeper story that was so powerful. And it got reconfirmed when I read the Gnostic Gospels. You know, the gospel, according to Thomas, you know, Yeshua is portrayed as a being that has come here to awaken us out of our contracted consciousness. He's a being that came here, not as an example, of what is possible for all of us. So in Logion 6, Yeshua said, "Stop lying. Do not do that which is against your love. You are naked before heaven. What you hide will be revealed. Whatever is veiled will be unveiled." So basically, love will bring up anything unlike itself to be healed. So whatever agenda we may have, whatever compensating structure, whatever coping mechanism that we might use to keep life at bay, love will bring up anything unlike itself to heal. You know, Jesus' main two commandments: you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. All of your mind, all of your heart, all of your soul. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Everyone and everything is your neighbor. Love is a reality. Love is what we are. And as we move from the head to the heart, you know, these two are so necessary to work in that collaboration with each other, because the heart helps the mind not be so rigid and tough. It teaches the mind tenderness and kindness so that we don't judge ourselves or others in the world or our world. And the mind helps the heart, and we learn how to differentiate between conditional love and unconditional love. We learn to see that more pure love rather than romanticized or emotionality. That love is not transactional. They're so absolutely necessary. And as the mind, the power of the mind and love start working together, and as we drop more fully into our body, into the seat of the soul, into our humanity, compassion is what's birthed from that. Compassion as we move through the world as human beings. And so we come to the solstice. So the solstice, you know, that's when the North Pole is at its fullest distance from the sun. Now, when the North Pole does this, it doesn't say, oh God, this is a nice relaxing position. I think I'm going to stay here for a while. I'm going to hang out. That's not the nature of our world. It's constantly moving. It's constantly changing. And so when this axis goes fall out, we get the longest night of the year. But as it starts coming forward, the light starts returning. It's this tilt on the axis that gives us our seasons. And right now in the Northern Hemisphere, we're experiencing winter. And as our Earth rotates, it's that which gives us light and day, or night and day. As the moon rotates around the Earth, we get the moon phases, but we also get the tides. And as the Earth rotates around the sun, we experience the full seasons, constantly changing. So I think some of you might know somebody named Reverend Jeff Anderson. Anyways, he says, I just love this because he said this a lot. Nowhere in the Bible did it ever say it came to stay. He said, in the Bible, it always says it came to pass. And isn't that the truth? Change is what we live here as human beings. Yes, we're divine in that changeless one. But this out here as human is constantly changing. So it's an invitation to be with the polarities, to be with those seasons. That when in the fall, we have the harvest, but we also have the dying that moves into the winter. And the spring is that rebirth, that renewal. And the summer is that maturity. And so we move through these phases all the time. And we have the pairs of opposites. We have stillness and motion. We have silence and we have sound. We have giving. And we have receiving. Carl Jung said, wholeness is not achieved by cutting off a portion of one's being, but by integration of the contraries. So as we fully come into this seat of the soul, it's an invitation to not prefer or cling to one of those opposites of the over the other. When we do this, we create separation in our life. It's learning to come into a clean, pure relationship with these pairs of opposites. And as we move more fully into the body, we realize that we are just a cell within this planet that we call the Earth. We are just a cell upon it. And we're all connected through that body of this planet. And if you think about it, this planet is just a cell within our galaxy called the Milky Way. And the galaxy of our Milky Way is just a cell within the totality of our universe. In this way, it can feel like we're so absolutely and completely insignificant. But the truth of it is, we're absolutely and completely necessary. Each one of us is a unique spark, a divine spark of that infinite one. You know, and as we move out from that divine creativity, as we move forward out into the world, we're tethered. We're always one. But it's that divine having a chance to know itself through our human existence. And so as we're tethered and we move out into the world and we face what it means to live in matter, to meet other matter, as we move out, how important it is to turn around every now and then and remember where we came from, what we truly are. This is the power of spiritual practice. How important it is that we don't go so far out that we become a somebody. We become a huge ego. How important it is to stay close. To remember that we are both human and divine. Not preferring one over the other, but knowing that we are both. And we learn all this through just being present, through that power of relaxation. I could use the word surrender here, but surrender can feel like a complicated word at times. And I love the word relaxation because I think we all know what that means. All you have to do is take a deep breath in. Body relaxes. That's surrender. That's surrender at its simplest. And so what we can do is just focus on relaxation. Relaxation is what helps bring us present into the moment. It helps to release the contraction that might be going in our mind to open us up to clarity. It helps to release the contraction that might be building up in the heart to open us to love. And it helps to release that contraction in the body where we open up to that divine life creativity, that integralness of us being that whole human being. And so with that, let us please go into prayer. And let us take a breath. Just letting ourselves fully come into this body, our own body. It is precious. It is special. It is unique. It is the divine knowing itself through each and every single one of us. Again, each one of us absolutely necessary. And as we grow more fully in this awareness, not only do we awaken, not only do we help ourselves heal in a deeper, fuller way, we become that place that is absolutely and essential for what our world needs right now. We become another spark that's added to that divine flame, that divine light, that's showing the way for those that don't know, that can't see, that are stuck. How important it is that we awaken. How important it is that we know the divine truth of what we are, that we are dedicated to that. And so I give thanks knowing that by just being present here, by being committed to this time, to this place, to this truth, it's already moving. It's already happening. I give thanks for knowing this. And I bless each and every single one here on your own journey. And for each of these gifts of the holy days, trust, love, and wholeness. Knowing that it is growing more and more through you and as you. I give thanks for this. I bless this. I let this be. And so it is.
Thank you very much, Reverend Julie. It is now time for our offering when we recognize the truth that giving and receiving are reflections of spirit, abundant, present, and always responsive. I invite the ushers to stand, taking your gift in your hand or placing your hand on your heart if you gave electronically. Please repeat these words after me. I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does good work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.